Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Scott Jacobs Show. There's a few things I think we need to learn is about the medical part. And here is the David Knight Show on my show to let y'all know about the COVID-19.
There is a fight going on that the WHO is actually saying that the coronavirus is not airborne. And let me define what that means for them. You've seen the hair on fire graphics at the top of the Drudge Report and various mainstream media news and everything. Look at this. One person just exhales and these droplets travel all over the Walmart. So everybody's going to wear masks. In spite of what the actual respiratory experts said in terms of does a mask protect you or not. As I pointed out yesterday, it's nothing but a Petri dish that you strap to your face. Doesn't really help. And it doesn't really help with the, there you go. Yeah, we get these slow motion things, the sneezes and stuff. Well, that is a very different thing than saying large droplets, yes, is how it's going to spread. So if you're in close proximity to somebody and you remain in close proximity to them for an extended period of time, like 15 to 30 minutes, that's how you get sick. But the idea that you've got these smaller droplets that are going to glide the length of the room and fill the Walmart with contamination, poison air everywhere. That's nonsense, and the WHO is not buying into it. And so they're being threatened by a group of scientists in the New York Times to change their rules. They said, no, we don't see any evidence for it being airborne. That's what I mean by small particles that just remain in the air indefinitely. No, you get close to somebody and they sneeze on you, you're going to get it. How about that for science? Maybe we should do a research study about that. Is that how you catch the flu and cold?
Yeah.
It is. It is. And so, especially in the last couple of months of the WHO, we've been stating several times that we consider airborne transmission as possible, but certainly not supported by solid or even clear evidence. So they're going to pressure them. They're going to pressure them to change their mind on this. I began this hour by talking about the alarmism being pushed by CNET and by a guy from Johns Hopkins. They said he studied all these pandemics, 1918 flu pandemic and so forth. Well, the problem is that if you look at, now here's some data. For the Spanish flu of 1918, young working age population was severely affected. The death rate from pneumonia among 25 to 34 year olds in the U.S. was 50% higher than it was for elderly people. That's exactly the opposite of what is happening with COVID-19. With COVID-19, you got people who are elderly, who are at or above life expectancy, who have multiple comorbidities, and they're dying very quickly. But for people under 45, the death rate is essentially zero. I pointed that out to you yesterday from Dr. Ioannidis, an epidemiologist at Stanford University. And so it is not anything at all like the 1918 flu epidemic. Nothing at all like that. There, the majority of people were young that were dying, much larger than it was for elderly people. So this is nothing at all like the 1918 epidemic. And so when you look at this, as I said before we went to break, the death rate has now fallen to that is approximately that of the flu, as I pointed out yesterday in Japan. They had 851 people who died out of the tens of thousands of people who got it. They had a case fatality rate there of 0.05%, one half of what the CDC says is typical for the typical flu season. And they didn't do a lockdown in Japan, did not do a lockdown. And they were right there at the epicenter of the Diamond Princess, which was freaking everybody out, that cruise ship, where they had 12 people die. So we look at these measures, and we look at the fact that their case fatality rate isn't holding up, even with their cooked numbers. And of course, in Japan, one of the reasons why it's showing up so low is because they don't have a health agency there that is trying to lock down the country. The Japanese prime minister wouldn't stand for that, unlike President Trump. And he didn't have health officials who were trying to destroy the country, like Fauci. And so they got the truth there. So here, even though they're cooking the books, the case fatality rate is dropping so rapidly that they have to resort to another statistical trick. Let's give people a collective running total of those that we have presumed have died from this. And how does that presumption work? Well, you presume that people have COVID-19 if they have any kind of symptoms. You know, if they got a presumed subjective fever, a headache, oh, you got COVID-19. Then if they die, you presume that they died from COVID-19, if you presume that they had it. And even with that, it's about to fall out of the epidemic category, because epidemic is based on the number of people who die with a particular disease. Now, in terms of treatment, we have a new treatment that's been suggested by a West Texas doctor. And I had a caller yesterday who called in, and she was in a dilemma. She has asthma, and she cannot wear a mask. And I know what that's like. I've watched my father struggle to breathe, and it was awful to watch that. As I said yesterday, I had a cousin, as an adult, who died with an asthma attack. And so last thing you're going to do if somebody's got asthma, if you're a real doctor and you care anything about their health, is force them to wear a mask. But that was the case. She had to get some medical care for her son. And the people in the doctor's office were absolutely inflexible. They said, no, you're going to wear a mask. And so she said, oh, I would go into the restroom and take the mask off so I could breathe. I mean, that's pathetic. What kind of health care is that? Well, the same kind of health care you get from these people who force you to take vaccines in spite of your reactions to it, or your children's reactions to it, or in spite of your consent. That kind of health care. That kind of Nazi authoritarian health care. But for that listener who's listening, the West Texas doctor says that an asthma drug he's found is a silver bullet for COVID-19. Now, does that sound strange? It is an inhaled steroid. And if you remember, we had in the news a couple of weeks ago some people who said, hey, we've got a steroid that's working really well on COVID-19. Well, guess what? A lot of these asthma medications are steroids. But he said, rather than taking this, as an injection or as an internal medicine, the steroid, if you inhale it, it goes right to the spot. And so the asthma drug was budesonide, I guess is the way you pronounce that. B-U-D-E-S-O-N-I-D-E, budesonide. A drug that is commonly used to treat asthma. He said the silver bullet for COVID-19 is an inhaled steroid. Doesn't have the side effects of total body steroids, but it has benefits because it gets right there, puts out the fire at the base of the fire. I'm having patients recover very quickly. He's been an emergency room doctor for 28 years. Said he's been treating high-risk COVID-19 patients, such as the elderly, those with heart conditions, those with cancer, with the inhaled steroid. So just so you know. And that's the whole thing about this. Why don't you see this at the top of CNN or Drudge or anywhere else where they're pushing the pandemic? It's because they don't care about your life. They really don't. I mean, they're using this phony death total. That is the place where they're all hanging out. I mean, you look at the Lincoln Project, the people who are dedicated to getting President Trump out of office. What are they focusing on? Their latest commercial. Oh, 100,000, 120,000 people dead, and it's like going through the graveyard and all this other kind of stuff. It's just garbage. Fear-mongering. Lies and fear-mongering. If they wanted you to get, they wouldn't be hiding the many, many treatments that we have that are out there. Oh, they pour all kinds of scorn on hydroxychloroquine. You're not going to hear them talking about steroids. You're not going to hear them talking about intravenous vitamin C. You're certainly not going to hear them talking about stem cell treatment, because stem cell treatment not only cured it, but it took care of any damage to people's lungs. No, no, no. You got to stay locked down until we get the vaccine, because this is about eugenics and transhumanism, and this is about the global control of everything, taking down the economy so they can have their way with you.
this water come from?
See, guys, news is crazy. Here's another piece. Listen to this. And they did not show again.
You know, I was fascinated over the weekend to see how much press coverage was given to Louis Farrakhan as he warned people not to take the vaccines. He warned people in Africa, but also he says, I say to my brothers and sisters in Africa, if they come up with a vaccine, be careful. Don't let them vaccinate you. With their history of treachery through vaccines, through medication, why would they say that? I mean, is it because they have, you know, done things like the Tuskegee experiments? Or because of the experimentation that has been well documented, especially by John Rappaport in Africa, they've used African areas as test beds for their eugenics program? Nevertheless, you should be concerned about vaccines, but they use Louis Farrakhan. They use Louis Farrakhan to discredit anybody who has any concern about the safety of vaccines. That's why they give him so much publicity. Will he put up anything that I, no matter how much detail and research and facts I give you about the concerns that you should have about vaccines? Will they put my stuff up? Will they talk about any of this information? No. They'll wait until you have somebody like Louis Farrakhan do it. Now, I had Dr. Andrew Wakefield on last week, and he has a movie that is going to be dropping tomorrow on his website. Guys, I forgot that website. Can you put that up on the screen there for me so I can tell people what that is? But that's what you should be listening to. That's right. 1986, The Act. Look at that one. 1986, The Act. And it is a dramatization, a very effective way to do this, folks. Ask, why is it that Fauci got the vaccine companies legal immunity in 1986? And you just saw that little bit of a clip there at the very, very beginning. The fact that, you know, hey, look at what Ford did with the Pinto. Should corporations have total legal immunity from any damage that they do to people? You know, most of the people who are pushing mandatory vaccines are on the left. They would never say that Ford or any other corporation other than big pharmaceutical companies should have total legal liability or immunity for any damage that they do to people, except when it comes to vaccines. They not only want to give them immunity, legal immunity, but they also want to force you to have that. So it's almost like finding out that you've got people that are dying from Pintos exploding, and your reaction to that is to give Ford legal immunity and then force everybody to drive a Ford Pinto. That's what the left wants to do with vaccines. And so, yeah, they don't want you to listen to Dr. Wakefield. They want you to look at Farrakhan as being the face of people who are concerned about the safety and the efficacy of vaccines. It's absolutely reprehensible how they control this. They purge me off of Twitter. They purge Dr. Wakefield out of the medical field, as well as social media, and they hold up Louis Farrakhan. Well, you know, what he was saying about Bill Gates is absolutely right. We see the New York Times even talking about how Bill Gates had a very, very close relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what they had in common.
Probably
these satanic figures.
Did.
Numerous times. I think 17 times he met with him. At least 3 times at his townhouse. His lifestyle is very different and kind of intriguing, said Bill Gates. Although it wouldn't work for me. That has now surfaced in a 2011 email. Bill Gates' spokeswoman said Bill was referring only to the unique decor of the Epstein residence. Maybe it was the Bill Clinton blue dress portrait that he had in his penthouse. Maybe that unique decor didn't work for him, right? I don't know. I kind of like Bill, and I kind of like his weird sexuality there, but I'm not so sure I like the aesthetics of him in a blue dress. Well, the Gates Foundation has committed $1 billion to gender equality, they said. Well, there you are. That's the poster child for gender equality. You get a sexual predator like Bill Clinton, and you put him in a dress, and you hang it up in Epstein's. But it's okay, because Bill Gates gave $1 billion to gender equality. You ought to at least get a copy of that portrait, right? We'll be right back.
Just keeps piling and piling. You know, guys, what are we to do with all this bad news that's going on? I really am confused, lost. Now it's Alex Jones playing.
Cyrus Jones.
Cyrus Jones, 1810 to 1913. Made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. Cyrus Jones, live forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger.
All right, we got a big show today. I probably should have told you this earlier. Paul Joseph Watson, quarterback's the fourth hour. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's been one of the biggest preachers day one, got arrested, saying he wasn't going to shut down his churches. He's really written a powerful new book detailing that COVID-19 is a hoax in its response and its overblownness. And it got banned off Amazon. Thought crime. And guess who else will join us at the bottom of the next hour? Roger Stone with exclusive information when he's just days away from being sent to federal prison for a crime he didn't commit and for the crime of being an American patriot getting President Trump elected.
Damn.
Okay, let me just go back to this. I want to explain something. It's on record that the Democratic Party has taken $50+ million from Black Lives Matter. It's on record that group was set up and funded by Soros as a psyop to claim that a PAC they control represents black people. It's real simple. The Democrats made this group. They got three black communist brainwashed women who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, who are the front people, and all the money sucked out. And, you know, and then they live in $1 million mansions. And then they say, we represent black people. And then they are indistinguishable in their command chain from Antifa. That's run by Refuse Fascism, also funded by Soros, and they work in tandem. And that's in the Soros documents we got 3 years ago. Headline, documents to tell plan in Maryland for martial law under Obama plan. We have the documents. It's how they run it, how they try to go out and get black people to burn stuff down, and how the whites are they leading it in their disguises. So this is not a joke. This is deadly serious. And the New World Order is not spending tens of billions of dollars on all this for nothing. That's Rutherford's video. BLM founder says we are trained Marxists and we are carrying out a Maoist revolution. You go out to these events, you'll find them wearing Maoist Youth Brigade uniforms. And when I drive by my armored vehicle, we knew this was all coming, they literally look at me, and they're mainly, usually, white men, and they go, you're dead, we're gonna kill you when we take over. They just point me and say, you're dead. These are killers. They're not really gonna do the killing by themselves, but when there's a big mob and they're burning down your house or whatever, yeah, they're gonna do that. Well, guess what? You're never gonna get me in one of your little FEMA camps. And I just want them to know that if this kicks off the way you really want it to, you're going to beg for your mother. You're going to beg for your mommy, and she ain't going to be coming, okay? Let's just move on from that. But they are running this operation against us, and it's deadly serious. And now people know, whoa, Jones isn't exaggerating about this. No, I'm not exaggerating about any of it. It's worse than I can tell you. These people are on a power trip because they are commanded by globalists. They have a plan. They believe they're going to have positions of power. I'll never forget running to Antifa 20 years ago, and Steve Mason, a local activist, who'd been a big liberal, parents were Quakers on the East Coast, he warned me. He said, this is the main group in the future. This is what the communists really are. Within 20 years, they plan to overthrow everything. This is the group. Because he'd infiltrated them. He'd been there. He went deep. We got to talk to him in years. Got to get him on the show. Hope he's alive. And smarter than hell. But I just can't believe it. I mean, these people literally want to beat your brains out and take your kids away, and you're lucky if they don't eat them, okay? By the way, you guys didn't pull it up. Did you have trouble pulling up where the communist Chinese eat people? Greg Reese found it the other day. It was even like in Vanity Fair of all places. I forget the exact name. It was called Flesh Banquets. Communist Chinese Flesh Banquets. I mean, I want listeners to know, we're not up here making any of this up, okay? Here's the report. It's on Bandai Video. It needs to get out to everybody. It's so incredibly important. Worldwide population being tortured in deep state PSYOP. Here it is.
This report is based on Amazing Polly's recent video, Is This Torture? In her video, Polly examines Amnesty International's 1973 report on torture and how it seems to reflect the current response to COVID-19. According to Amnesty International's report, torture is the systematic and deliberate infliction of acute pain in any form by one person on another in order to accomplish the purpose of the former against the will of the latter. The report then uses Biederman's chart of coercion to describe the technique. Psychologist Albert Biederman studied communist Chinese tactics known as DDD, debility, dependency, and dread. The CIA has been trained to use debility, dependency, and dread. And according to their 1983 Human Resource Exploitation Training Manual, many psychologists consider the threat of inducing debility to be more effective than debility itself. With DDD, the debilitated victim becomes dependent upon the torturer and develops a strong fear of anything vague or unknown. Biederman's chart of coercion lays out the design of DDD. Does any of this sound familiar? Number one, isolation. We see this with quarantines and social distancing and the prohibition of crowds and large gatherings. Number two, monopolization of perception. Corporate mainstream media has monopolized all of pop culture, and those on social media who challenge the mainstream narrative are censored. Also listed is restricted movement and monotonous food. Number three, induced debilitation and exhaustion. Gym closures, church closures, losing your job, school closings, and wearing masks all day long increase stress and provokes exhaustion and debilitation. Number four, threats. We are threatened that our own children may be taken away from our homes and that experimental forced vaccines are coming. We are told that more will die if we restart America. And we are threatened with tracking chips, contact tracing, and a new normal. Number five, occasional indulgences. Here we find fluctuations of interrogators' attitudes, such as BLM protests are good, Trump rallies are bad. Walmart is okay, but small businesses are not. The torturer will provide occasional indulgences such as rewards for partial compliance. If you just wear a mask, someday we can return to normal. Number six, demonstrating omnipotence and omniscience. Shutting down the entire global economy was a pretty good demonstration of omnipotence. Huge fines and jail for people not wearing a mask. We see the omniscience with Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, and other official experts. Number seven is degradation, being called non-essential or a science denier, being treated as ignorant fools and called called names by celebrities for not complying. Number 8, enforcing trivial demands. This final step develops habits of compliance. Enforcement of minute rules such as standing 6 feet apart, following arrows, and showing support for violent BLM protests. Also, according to the report on torture, many victims become ill as a result of coercion. And more than half the illnesses listed in the report can be easily diagnosed as COVID-19, according to CDC guidelines. All right,
I think you can tell. There's a little bit more of the report. It's a band on video. This is key to the fight. Get it out, folks. That's your mission. Stay with us. The 4th of July 2020 special has gone into high gear. We have 50% off Bodies, really strong extract of turmeric formula. Sold out for months. That's back in stock. DNA Force Plus with BQQ and W10. So good for yourself. So amazing. That's back in stock for yourself. Winter Sun's been sold out for over 3 months. It's back in stock. Pure, high quality vitamin D3. Take it under the tongue. Greater absorption. So good for your whole body. So essential. That's back in stock. Ultra 12. Super high quality B12. You can take it under the tongue.
That's my show for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.